future of recruitment conference and needed a drink far more than he or the barman realised. I'd been standing at the bar for what felt like an eternity, theatrically waving a battered £10 note in the air, when, just along from me, a dark-haired man muscled his way to the front, holding a credit card.
"Yep, over here, mate,"
he said in a booming voice. Excuse me, I said, a little louder than I intended. "I think you'll find I was here first." He shrugged and smiled.
"Sorry, but I've been waiting ages."
I stood and watched open-mouthed as he and the barman shared a knowing tip of the head, and without him even saying a word, a bottle of Peroni was put in front of him.
"Unbelievable,"
I mouthed as he looked over at me. He smiled that smile again and turned to the throng of men beside him to take their orders.
"You've got to be kidding me,"
I groaned, before letting my head drop into my arms while I waited. I was sure that it would be an inordinate amount of time until my turn.
"What can I get you?" asked the man behind the bar. "The guy over there reckons you're a rosé kind of girl, but I'm going to bet you're after a gin and tonic."
I smiled, despite myself. As much as I'd like to prove him wrong, I'm afraid to say a glass of rosé would be perfect, please. I went to hand him the tenner as he placed the glass in front of me, but he shook his head.
"No need,"
he said.
"Please accept it with the compliments of the gentleman who jumped the queue."
I didn't know who I loved more, the bartender who, in my opinion, ought to be elevated to chief sommelier, or the really rather nice fellow smiling down the bar at me. Oh, the power of a chilled pink blush. My face flushed the same colour as I held the glass up to him and headed over to where my seminar colleagues were gathered in a corner, each nursing their own alcoholic preference. We'd been strangers up until 7 hours ago, so it seemed that the general consensus was to get your own drink and not worry about everybody else. "Mr. Peroni obviously doesn't have the same arrangement with his own acquaintances," I thought, smiling to myself, as I looked up and saw that he had continued to order his round. I took a sip of wine and could hear my taste buds thanking me as the cold liquid teased them before hitting the back of my throat. What is it with that first taste that can never be replicated? I sometimes find myself postponing that initial swig for fear of losing that sensation. I'm making myself sound like a raging alcoholic, but I only ever drink at weekends and on mind-numbingly tedious Wednesdays after being holed up with 200 HR personnel for the day. We'd been helpfully informed during a lecture entitled "Nobody Likes Us, We Don't Care," that a recent survey had revealed that recruitment consultants were fast becoming the most disliked professionals, second only to estate agents. I wish I could defy the haters and prove that we're not all morally lacking, unethical dealmakers. But as I look around at the brash, loud, would-be city boys with their slicked-backed hair and insincere expressions, I have to hold my hands up in defeat. Despite having introduced myself in the forum earlier in the day, I felt I had to do it again, so I approached the baying mob. "Hi, I'm Emily," I said awkwardly to the guy on the outermost circle. He wasn't someone I was particularly interested in talking to, but talk I had to if I wanted to finish my glass of wine without looking like a complete Norman Nomates. "I'm a consultant at Faulkner's," I went on. I offered my hand, and he took it, shaking it brusquely in a slightly territorial fashion.
"This is my manor and you're on my turf," was the message he conveyed,
even though we'd spent the entire day learning how to do the exact opposite. "Be open, be approachable," speaker number two had stated earlier. "Employers and employees want to deal with a friendly face. They need to feel that they can trust you, that you are working for them, not the other way around. Deal with your clients on their terms, not on yours, even if it does put a dent in your pride. So read each situation individually and react accordingly." I'd always prided myself on doing exactly that, hence why I'd been the top consultant at Faulkner's 7 months in a row. In person, I was the antithesis of what people expected. Honest, considerate, and blasé about target chasing. As long as I had enough to pay my rent, eat and heat, I was happy. On paper, however, I was smashing it. Clients were requesting to deal exclusively with me, and I'd secured more new business than anyone else across the five.